We got a couple of those supposed to be on the schedule. I'm trying to give it something, and I've just run out of juice right there. As in, we're done. We're going to talk about the Browns a lot today. We're going to have Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, 8 o'clock. Dale Ryder's going to join us at 9:20 as well. We're going to talk about the Browns, but I'd be lying to you if I said I was super amped up for this game. I would be just full-blown lying to you. Michael Bomer on the board today. Anthony Allant going to be on updates and doing everything behind the scenes as well. Cavs starting at 7:30. And you know what that means. That means we're hitting a little bit of a speed. We got to react to yesterday. Obviously, Cavs 15-0 comes to an end. You lose to the Boston Celtics, 120-117. Everyone wanted to react quickly and sort of, I feel like the general vibe of just a few people. It was more minority, but some people just overreacted and was like, boom. What we were all sort of afraid of you can't beat the big team, right? I walked away from yesterday's game almost feeling the opposite. Right? It was almost more of an inspiration to me that the Cavs are there and willing to compete and have pushed me to believe that they are atop the East along with the Celtics, right? They're sort of in a tier of their own between those two teams, more so than it came down to, well, you just couldn't beat the Celtics and the streak comes to an end. Like, you bounced back from the start of that game. And the start of the game was anything but, right? Like, that start of that game was the ugliest I've seen the Cavs play this year. I think it was their fourth lowest scoring quarter in the first quarter. You only score 20. You come out of it down 6. The second quarter, even worse. You end up down 17. And then you bounce right back. Right? You survive the Celtics onslaught of a team that's going to sit there and shoot 53s throughout the course of a game. And they weren't missing. It's a demoralizing thing, I'm sure, to sit there. Like, the Cavs defense was, I'm not going to tell you it was the best I've ever seen, but it was fine. They weren't struggling to get a hand in the face of Celtics shooters. They seemed to tick slow at times, but they were getting to most of the shots. The Celtics were just putting them down. It was bottom line. They were just going in. But there was a lot more from that game. Like, you obviously rally back into that one. You go on a run of your own. I think it capped off at like 22-5. And to work your way back into the game. And again, you end up losing by 3. And honestly, it almost seemed to me like the Celtics saw the Cavs as a threat. Right? Like, and not the way that you see every NBA team as a threat, but like going beyond playing basketball in November. I'm talking a team that genuinely, it sparks the intensity. I think Kenny Atkinson described it as the Celtics were playing with playoff intensity and we had regular season intensity. Not what I want to hear out of my coach. I mean, he's being honest. It's not what I want to hear and not what I wanted to see. But the fact that you got playoff intensity out of the Celtics says something. Does it not? Does that not tell you that the Celtics were fighting tooth and nail, maybe in part to try to break up 15-0, but also in part because you bring playoff intensity when you feel that the team in front of you is playoff caliber. When that's a team that, when you go up against them, you have something to prove. It's not just a phone-it-in game like you're going to see coming up at 7:30 if you tune on, where the Pelicans are resting like 9 players. There's like 9 players out and the Cavs have like 6. Okay, I mean, we are seeing borderline G League basketball tonight. Okay, there's not going to be much to note from this game. I think George Niang is getting a start. Props up to George, right? Like, even the Jason Tatum foul at the end of the game, which, by the way, we're not looking at that. We're genuinely not looking at the play. Jason Tatum just bulldozes over Donovan Mitchell. I don't understand that. But, like, that play tells you, hey, it's like, I don't know that it's chip on the shoulder, but he was frustrated. The Cavs had worked their way back into the game. Jason Tatum was frustrated at the end of the game. There was clearly a high level of intensity, some grit going back and forth between the two squads. That's a good sign coming from the defending NBA champions in November. That should leave the Cavs fans feeling great. Right? If you're going to bring the intensity to me, all the power. Like, if I lose to the Celtics in November, like, yes, again, I wanted the streak to stay. It sucks that it's over. That's the highest level of respect you could have gotten. That's prime there Okay? Like, that is what you strive for. And now that you've gotten that, I think that'll be maybe not right away because you're going to be disappointed with the loss, but that's something you look back on and leaves you feeling very good about the Cavs. A Jason Tatum foul, man. It irked me, though. That got under my skin. I took to X and made sure I got my thoughts out there, went back, watched it. There's just no way. There's no way. Kenny Atkinson also reacted and gave the quick explanation of what the refs told him.
Didn't they just said, we're not going to review it. Simple as that. I asked two times, so not sure why.
How do you not review? Like, the guy straight bulldozed my star player. Come on. Give me something. You can't just let... There's no attempt at the ball. That's not a basketball play. Give me a break. Jason Tatum, not a overly like the dirtiest player that I think I see on a nightly basis, but that one, give me a break. All right? If you draw blood, I feel like we should at least be looking at the review. But I'm not going to get anything out of that, so we'll let it go. But you should not be disappointed with the Cavs' loss. You can take it in, streak over, you can appreciate it a little bit, but like, bouncing back from a terrible start, Darius Garland, who I want to get into more, played absolutely awful in that game, shot 3 of 21 from the field. You got by far the worst game that you've gotten out of Darius. You were missing 4 out of your top 11 players, right? Like, you were missing key guys. Like, Caris LeVert has been great down the stretch. And you're missing Caris in that game. Dean Wade out. Like, some of the guys that you pick to sort of fill the gaps, especially defensively, going up against Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, were not there. And you looked good. You can make the argument on the other side. Of course, Celtics playing without Kristaps Porzingis, sure. But, like, that's not the Cavs at full strength either. There's no reason that you shouldn't be walking away with that one feeling good. And you lost by 3. I'm absolutely inspired by the way that the Cavs played last night against the Celtics. I walk away from that one, again, feeling like the Cavs are a top 2 team in the East. I don't know how you feel any other way. And I want to know, did the Cavs prove to you that they're a threat coming down the Eastern Conference? Did they prove to you that they're a legitimate threat to the Celtics and that they can compete? 216-474-0092. You can also get to me on X at Jake Vol. It's Jake V-U-L. Wait. Rewind that. You can get to me on X at Volnick Jake. And that was the best part, right? And this is not a just change of the handle, okay? This was even something better. I was laying in my bed. It was like past midnight, right? I'm just scrolling on Twitter. Pop up on the notification on the top. There's been a login from Bradenton, Florida. Problem is, I don't know anybody from Bradenton, Florida. And within seconds, I was logged out of my X account. Tried to reach out to X support. Tried to get back in. No luck. They said, the email that you typed in is not associated with the account. That's because the email was changed with no confirmation to my phone or my email. Make that make sense. How did I get kicked out? I don't know. Wasn't feeling good about it, though. Very frustrated. Ended up keeping me up until about 2 in the morning because I was like, okay. X support did nothing. You can't talk to a real person, which is one of my favorite things about support, right? But when you just give me... Here's a little bit of help, right? You can contact, you can submit a form. There wasn't even like an AI bot I could talk to. I couldn't even type to somebody. I submitted a form and I got a response in 3 minutes being like, I can't verify it's your account. I don't know how you want me to do that. So, conclusion of the story that really matters for you guys. New handle on X. Make sure you go follow. We're brand new. At Volnick Jake. Okay? We have to boost the numbers there now. We started back down from 0. There was no hope getting back in. While some people at this station might have the power and the following to get somewhere higher on X and get to somebody who can actually help them, I do not. They don't put me in that chair. Okay, so we had to start from 0. So if you want to get there again, at Volnick Jake. And before we get to our social media reactions, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll also have Lance Reisland, Coach Reyes at Cleveland.com. He's going to join us at 8 o'clock. Our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, he's going to join us at 9:20. Before that, we'll get a grip at 9 o'clock, per usual. And at 10:20, change your mind with Anthony Lant. But right now, I mean, the Cavs had to have showed you something. I'm not buying that you walked away from that game feeling genuinely disappointed. It was a flat first quarter, a flat first half. And down the stretch, they showed you exactly what you wanted to see. The second half Cavs were the better team. They looked far better. You just hit a hot as can be Boston Celtics team. They were not missing. That happens. On any given night in the playoffs, that Cavs team has a real shot. And that makes you feel good. I walk away from that game happy as can be. There was the one issue, though. And I want to get into with you guys, too, is like Darius Garland. I don't know what to do with that. He's had an incredible year. But, man, you go from 15 straight games of playing some of the best basketball you have in your career to the game that you know coming up has the most pressure on it. The game that absolutely means the most going in. And you come out 3 of 21. And if it was a one-off, if it was a regular season, I'd lay it flat and I'd say, all right, it was a bad regular season game. The problem is it's not the first time from Darius. So I want to get into that with you guys too again. 216-474-0092. We should be excited. You should be feeling good about the Cavs coming down the stretch. And if you're not, I got nothing for you. It's Jake Volnick right here on Overtime on 92.3 The Fan. You have to give me something. Like, he was just downright bad last night. And listen, Darius has received a lot of praise. Okay? A ton of praise for the way that Darius has played throughout the first 15 games. I was on that. I said in the offseason that I probably would have moved off of somebody like Darius or Jared Allen because the core four didn't seem like it worked. Those seemed like easy guys out. Darius looks really good this year. The gripe was always his ability to step up in the big games. Right? Every time I looked at Darius, when the moment got really big, Darius, not every single time. It wasn't every single time that Darius shrunk, but it just seemed to happen too often, and it happened in the biggest of the moments. Game 7 against Orlando last year, Darius Garland had one of his worst shooting performances as a Cleveland Cavalier. Like, those are the games where I need you to be great. And it's not even that you're the star of the team, like Donovan Mitchell. Donovan, I really need to be great. Darius, you can accept him not playing at his top peak performance every single night, right? Again, especially in the regular season of the NBA, I expect some duds. I expect nights where you just do not look good. That can't be the game. And you looking good can't be you turning into the invisible man. Right? You have to be able to... You can be inefficient the way that we know that Darius has been in the past, the way that he was last year as he dealt with an injury. You can be inefficient. You can't be nothing. You have to show out and give something. Like, even a Donovan Mitchell dud game, he could walk away with like 15 to 20 points and contribute to the team and help try to find a way to win the game. Like, last night was not his most efficient night. He also didn't go 3 of 21 from the field. For Darius, it almost always seemed like he was never ready to kind of be the star. Right? Like, he got paid star-like money. And when the moments popped up that, hey, this is the one where I want you to step up and be the guy, the maturity wasn't there. But not like the maturity of, I think he's an immature person, but it's like the maturity on the basketball court. He just didn't seem like he stepped into a role where he's confident, where I know I'm Darius Garland. Like, the way I've seen him play for 15 games this year, I've sat here in this chair watching games with Bohm and watching games with Jax and everybody else and just turning in awe in the middle of my segments or in between segments of just like, there's no way that Darius is pulling that. Ridiculous confidence, and it was going down. And then you get to the big moments like last night, and he just doesn't do it. Everything he shoots just feels a little timid, a little off. The shots that he's normally putting down, he's not. The one that stuck out to me, I'm pretty sure it was fairly early on in the game. Like, a runner past Al Horford. Gets beyond him, tries to go high off the glass on a floater. off. Like, Darius Garland, this year especially, does not miss that. He had his man beat, and he sold it. It feels dumb to sort of almost overanalyze one game. But that's the thing. It's not just the one game. It's the big moments. Yesterday just furthered the narrative that he struggles in the moments where they matter the most. And it's not a, hey, I want to trade Darius Garland. It's not a, this guy's terrible. Even when I was talking about the core four not working, I never said Darius was bad at basketball. I never said he wasn't a quality NBA player. He's been incredible this year. It's not something where I need Darius going. It's just now that sits in the back of your mind. He had a chance, I don't know that you put it to bed, but to make you feel a little bit better, especially early on in the season, one of these big matchups. You play the Celtics again in a couple of weeks, so I guess you would have felt good for about 2 weeks until you saw the Celtics again, probably. But you would have had it. It would have been like a slight ease to, okay, Darius is actually back. I feel like the 15-game sample size should be enough. It's just, now it lingers. Now it's sitting in my head of, yeah, I saw him play great for 15 of what were a majority of meaningless games against some really bad defenses. I saw you play really good throughout those. But when you got put up against a really strong defensive backcourt, I even probably could have gone into that game and expected him and Donovan Mitchell to struggle a little bit. It was going to be better defense than they've seen all season. But when he got put up against them, you were nothing. He didn't hit a single three. He was 0 for 6. And the Cavs struggled as a unit from beyond the arc, but they kind of seemed to find it in the second half. Darius never did. I can deal with cold stretches. I can deal with bad games. He invisible manned. He completely fell off the face of the earth. And this would be a turnaround where I'd be looking tonight of, okay, I just want to see Darius Garland sort of bounce back. Right, this is a game where I would just like to see him and see how he reacts to, okay, bad game. Now let's put it behind us. Right? Because that's something that's kind of concerned me too, is the mental aspect of Darius Garland. He doesn't always strike me as a soldier on the basketball floor, right? Short-minded, able to go and handle pressure at the highest level. He was never the cold-blooded killer. So I'd like to see tonight, even if you're not playing anybody tough, right? Like the Pelicans are essentially sending out their G League unit. I would like him just to come out and put it all behind him and have a good game. And this is a night where he takes a rest day. All right, I think it's officially labeled as groin soreness or tightness. This is the one I wanted to see him in. And even if you got that performance, it feels the same way of, yeah, I have it, but like, it's against the Pelicans. It's not the big moment. Kenny Atkinson had sort of an explanation on what he thought happened to Darius Garland.
This is an excuse. The density of our schedule has been enormous, right? Like, I think he hit a wall tonight. He won't say that. I'll say it. Part of the NBA. It's too bad it happened tonight. But, you know, like I said, he's been going at it really hard for us, you know, over this first stretch of the schedule.
Listen, everybody's played the same amount of games for the Cavs. Everyone had sort of a slump to begin. Everyone else figured it out except for Darius Garland. Right? The guy's like, what, 24, 25? The season eventually catches up to you, but I'm not going there. Like, is this leading to something bigger, right? Is this just a random bad night in the NBA or concerns in the big moments, something that you have with Darius Garland? 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Let's get to Eric in Cam's Corner. Eric, how you doing?
You know, as I watched last night's game, you know, the whole cadence was off with the squad, with LeVert, and especially Okoro, you know, saying not helping, being there, rather. And you know, give the Boston Celtics credit because they decided that Darius Garland was not going to beat them last night. If you notice, they let Spider have what he wanted, but they never really let Darius get going. And they put him in all those pick and roll ISOs on defense. So he was the target last night. Now, I believe that in a loss like that, he can grow from it because he'll have opportunity to watch tape and say, hey, this is my opportunity, this is my spot, let me capitalize next time. So compared to last year, you know, we're light years away from that because he's not that player no more. I just think it was more or less the opponent. I agree with you. He got to rise above that and play better and expect the Celtics to do that and not be caught off guard. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying, overreact over that one game because they play him again in, what, a week or two?
Yeah, I think you got like 2 weeks until the next one.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully, you know, that game's up Rocket Mortgage and hopefully he can fare better. But I'm not too worried about last night. But I got a question for you, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been hearing the internet talk. The whole, you know, Larry Nance for George Niang, if that's a good trade proposal, what do you think about that? Do you think we need another big, quality big, like Larry Nance Jr. back here in Cleveland?
I don't know that you need, like... I think the way that Kenny Atkinson structures having Jared Allen and Evan Mobley on the floor allows them to sort of not have that default backup big, like a center. Because he does a lot of, like, two in, two out between the core four. I would like to see them add, if they're going to add something more of a wing. I think Niang's actually been really good for you this year, and he's somebody who I've criticized heavily, like, in the past, because he's not that athletic. He gets targeted a little bit on defense. If he's not hitting shots, he sort of seems like a liability at times, but he's been really good this year. Yeah. The teams talk so much about continuity that you almost want to keep them together.
Okay, I feel you. And I agree with you. You know, George has been playing well. I mean, he came back in shape, and that's big. You know, I just, my fear is, like, do we have enough size when it gets to, you know, May and June? That's my, you know, only fear with the squad right now. But other than that, they're rolling. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, of course, Eric. Appreciate the call. It's just, I think the wing is the much bigger issue because you just don't have one. Okay, like, well, let's not rule out the fact that last night you were missing probably some of the key players that you wanted, like an Isaac Okoro, a Caris LeVert, a Dean Wade, all guys who are candidates to be guarding Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. Sort of the extra length, but also quickness. Maybe Dean Wade tossing in there is a little bit of a stretch, but I think he would have been on one of those guys. I don't know. I see you can feel like it's an overreaction to one game. And this is a battle going on in my head. Is it an overreaction to one game? Or is this sort of the bigger thing? To me, it's, you lean into it, yes, it's one game, it's also a 3 of 21. It's also, as Eric sort of put it there, like, yeah, they did scheme up things. Defensively, they were attacking Darius Garland. Offensively, you're playing one of the best backcourts that you're going to face. Like, that is a tough defensive backcourt to go up against. Like, Derek White's a good defender. Peyton Pritchard is a better defender than you think, and we all know that Jrue Holiday is as quality as he gets. Like, that's not an easy backcourt to score on. You know that going in. I'm not saying you got to be lights out and drop 40 on him, but you sure can't walk in and shoot 3 of 21. That's more than just good defense. Darius, I mean, he dropped the ball. It was, I think as JP put it earlier, he wilted under the pressure. Okay, he just wilted away. I cannot have that. So, again, it's not a trade Darius Garland thing. It's not calling him a terrible player. But I guarantee you that when the Celtics roll back around a couple of times this year, and I think in the four total matchups you have with them, when you get to the postseason, yeah, like, I'm going to be holding my breath thinking, is the Darius Garland fall-off game going to come here, and is it going to cost you big? 216-474-0092 if you want to get your last thoughts in there. Cavs getting ready to start here for Game 17 coming up against the non-existent version of the Pelicans, I think. You can also get to me on X at Vulnik Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. Odyssey Rewind feature if you're wondering why we have a different X handle. Beginning of the show. Tough go. Coming up in about 25 minutes, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com. In the meantime, I don't think this game really means all that much coming up tomorrow. We end that when we come back. Jake Vulnik right here on Overtime. On Overtime on the Fan. wrapping up our Cavs conversation, I wanted to get some of you guys' reaction in from X again. New X handle. If you haven't heard, have you heard this? Have you gotten here? Are you annoyed with me yet? At Vulnic Jake. V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake to get in on it. R-Clark333 chiming in. The problem with Garland is we paid him like a top 10 player foolishly, and now in his head he thinks he is one. I don't even know if that's true, honestly. I feel like sometimes it's the opposite. Like last year, you paid him like a top 10 player, and I feel like he thought he was like a top 1,000 player, right? 10,000. 1,000. That's a number. We're good with that. I speak for a living for a reason. I don't do math for a reason. Yeah, like a top 10,000 player. Like he had zero confidence. Also chiming in that the new car smell in the NBA is off, and it's like 6 to 10 players out a night. Yeah, that sounds about right. That's where we are in the NBA season. The streak is over, which means that a lot more rest games probably coming up. And C-Belks chiming in. Last night was more about the Celtics shooting 53% from three and being down three guys versus Darius having his first real rough game this year. It's just fair. Like, the Celtics, again, they shot the lights off you, especially to start the game, which gave you the big hole to climb out of. And they were on fire. I just feel like that's, at times, like 53% is obviously a stretch, but that's the kind of Celtics that you get every single night. Like, they have so many different guys that can hit. Obviously, everybody was just hitting last night. But they're going to chuck 53s. Just maybe not hitting at that rate. Darius could have made the difference. I struggle to say that Darius isn't the difference when he shot 3 of 21. And he lost by 3. But Cavs are underway, which means that it's time to talk some Browns. Game coming up tomorrow against the Steelers. I told you guys to start the show. Like, this is just not one that gets me riled up. I don't know that there is a game for the rest of the year that's going to get me riled up because we're 2-8, right? Your playoff chances are dead. Everything that you do it for the rest of the season is essentially null and void in terms of what it plays to this year, at least. Like, everything in my head is just what happens next year. What can I learn about this team for next year? What impact does this have on the 2025 Browns? If you go out and win a game, I don't even know that it means anything to me. The life of the Browns fan has been taken away this year by the abysmal play that they've had. Right? Like, we came in riding our high horse thinking that this could turn into something, and then it was quickly crushed. I just need to know if that, like, the game against the Steelers every single year, you get two of them. They're usually games that, as Cleveland fans, we dial into and are games that you can't take your eyes off of and you put a lot of emphasis on. No matter if you're doing good or poorly, like, the Steelers are a team that you want to beat. Does it still feel that way this year? Like, most years, it sort of feels like your Super Bowl, right? At least, we're talking majority years since you came back from, like, 99, because you've been terrible. So, like, that's, like, sort of your Super Bowl. It has been, well, can you at least get some against the Steelers? Can you at least split the series? Can you maybe try to take the whole series, which hasn't happened since 1988? You haven't beat the Steelers twice in the same season, in the regular season. For me, it doesn't. This game doesn't really have any extra motivation to me. It's Thursday Night Football. That should be fun. Like, we at least get a primetime game, a game played under some lights at Huntington Bank Field. Huntington Bank Stadium, whatever they're calling it these days. You get that? Other than that, there's really, like, it doesn't feel like extra motivation to me. We're asking fans to buy into what's been a terrible product this year. There will be people that will. I also am not going to be surprised when we look into the crowd tomorrow night if you see a lot of black and gold. That's just the reality of it. I feel like this is the rest of the year. The sad reality is that a lot of fans are going to be selling their tickets. A lot of fans are not going to be backing a product that they didn't pay for. Fans who bought season tickets were expecting to see a playoff team this year. They have not gotten that. I can't come up here and criticize you if you don't want to watch this game and you don't want to go sit out in the cold for snowy conditions for a team that you have no faith in, that you feel like you have no reason to watch. Maybe it's just me. I feel like as a fan base, though, we're pretty much out on this. Like, every game we're going to watch because we're Browns fans. Like, you might tune in on TV. I feel like the hardcore support of going to the stadium has sort of worn off. The diehard support of going and actually caring about the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the result that you get has sort of worn off. It just doesn't mean as much. When you don't come out here and you don't compete, it's a rivalry, sure, that means something. But not really when you're at the bottom. In his rivalry, it's not even been that. Like, it's a stretch to call that a rivalry. We hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers still hate us. I just told you guys, it's been 1988. I was about negative 13 years old. Quick math, up it. Bad math again, 20. No, 13, I was right. This is why I don't do math. Why am I trying this? Negative 13. Okay? Like, it was 13 years before I was even born that they won two regular season games against the Steelers. And if you're thinking, oh, that hurts, yeah, I'm now talking to you on your radio. Now, welcome to life, okay? That's where we have gotten. And you're probably not getting that this year. Let's be realistic. The Steelers, they play ugly football. They play winning football. They found more ways to win this year. That team is atop the AFC North. I don't even know how much I can buy into the Browns like trying to get this out of a smart game and playing with a chip on their shoulder. I don't know that they are. I watched Juan Thornhill. Anybody else? Did anybody else watch Juan Thornhill last week? That's not a team playing with a chip on their shoulder who's going into this game dying and thinking about the rivalry. That's a team coasting to the end of the season. 216-474-0092. Is this really a game that you guys care about going into tomorrow? I just can't get behind it. I'll be there. I'll watch every single Browns game. It's not something that I'm going to go to bed angry if the Browns don't win. I'll go to bed extremely tired. I'll probably be here until like 2 in the morning. But I'm not going to bed angry. I'm not going to walk away from this game thinking, well, the Browns lost to the Steelers. How could they let that happen? No, it's whatever. It sort of just is what it is. I won't root for losses, but I'm not getting mad when you're getting a better draft pick either. Like, I'll walk in and hope the Browns win every single week. I can't say when the season comes to an end, if I'm staring at a top 5, top 10 draft pick, that I'm actually walking away from that angry. I can't bring myself to do it. Like, Anthony, are you dialed into this game? Is this one that, like, actually gets you to do something?
I don't even want to go.
Yeah, I mean, you just said you were debating on going before the show started. We were talking off the air, and you were like, nope, I'm working. I'm not going to this. Like, but even before you knew that, you're like, do I want to go? Do I really want to watch this team?
It's so hard to pay attention to it. Even 0-16, you could see who was developing. All your developing guys are gone. DeJuan Jones is gone. Jerry Judy's not doing anything. Elijah Moore will be gone in a year. Doesn't matter. Nothing matters here.
It's not even like you get, like, I could, if maybe if you started DTR or Bailey Zappi, I'd have the interest of watching for the simple fact that they're playing. I don't think either of those guys are the guy next year. So it's not like I'm walking into that being like, let's see if they can do it next year. I feel the same way about Jameis Winston, though. It's like, okay, he looked really good last week, at least on the stat sheet, right? Threw for 395 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He actually didn't have, like, terrible turnover-worthy throws. He still scored 14 points. I don't know that I really want Jameis Winston to be my bridge quarterback if he can't be the Saints when their top receiver is, pick a name?
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yeah, it's not a good one. It's not a good. You could have gave me Mason Tittman. You could have gave me Cedric Wilson. I don't even know if he was active. You could have given me any of those, and I'm still not feeling good. Like, and it's the exact same team next year, guys. Like, lock into that fact. This team is not changing. This is not where you get to go and look at a brand new team next year, and it's all these high hopes of, like, you're going to bring in a ton of young guys, and there's a lot of developing pieces. This is one of the oldest teams in the NFL right now. You know what you have. You are essentially rolling it back with everybody being a year older. That's what you have as a Browns fan. So what you're getting this year with Jameis Winston is essentially what you're going to be getting next year. Like, you might have a Browns offensive lineman drafted in the first round. you're not even getting like exciting pieces to watch. The team could be improved slightly. They could also be worse. I'm not going to lie to you. This team could legitimately be worse next year. So if you're watching these games thinking, is Jameis auditioning for the spot? Could he actually take over? For what? If you can't win that Saints game, I'm not confident in you to win any game going this year. There is nothing that I can sit here and watch and actually be excited for. Anthony laid it out. Like, you don't have DeJuan Jones. I don't have that to look at. Like, what am I looking at? Cedric Tillman? Like, is that what I'm excited for, my wide receiver at this point?
I will say, of this season, as bad as it has been, Cedric Tillman is the one thing I am excited about. And that didn't happen until Amari Cooper was gone.
Yeah. It's just, like, yes, I'm excited to watch Cedric Tillman. Is it what's going to like get me amped up and tuned in every week? No. Like, he looks decent. He's going to be on the team next year. He's going to have roles next year. He's developed nicely enough that I'm okay with that. And I think that's about as far as I've gone. 216-474-0092 if you want to get in. But when we come back, we're going to talk to Lance Reisland at Cleveland.com. Maybe we'll ask him. We'll ask him if fans should have a reason to actually care about this game. We'll do it when we come back. It's Jake Volnick right here on The Fan.